Peters, and welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Happy day to you. Happy to be back in the studio. If you were listening a couple weeks ago, you may know that Dr. Nicole is off this month, the whole month. Busy month for her. And so we're wishing her all the best as she gets all kinds of things taken care of. But it's just me and you today, Pet Appreciators. And so I just want to make sure that you know that you are always welcome to call in with any sort of comments, announcements, ideas that you might have, or problems that we can brainstorm together. 952-946-6205. And is there anybody out there, and this is a day that I really wish Dr. Nicole was here, is there anybody else out there that's dealing with the crazy ragweed allergies that your dogs may have? I don't know if cats are as affected, outdoor cats, as dogs are, but holy Toledo. I know I'm taking care of, I have one dog that's really affected by it, but there's an awful lot of dogs that we're taking care of here in August, and many of them are struggling with ragweed issues, allergies, you know, and thank goodness it's a seasonal thing. It seems to hit real hard in August. Have you noticed that? And then seems to, you know, die out near the end of summer once everybody's back in school and that kind of thing. But it can be really frustrating, can't it? You know, trying to deal with it. Lots of scratching, lots of itching, chewing of the paws, sometimes chewing until they're a little raw. And that's hard to see too. And, you know, I would always recommend Pet Appreciators, you know, if you're dealing with that and if it doesn't seem to be getting any better, you know, I would highly recommend, you know, just calling the vet at least, seeing if there's any new products out there that you could try. I know people sometimes look things up on the internet, and sometimes there's good ideas out there, but sometimes they might not be ones that have been truly tested and tried in the safest way possible. So just urge you with caution, you know, with that. I know some people have recommendations from their veterinarians about giving them Benadryl, and I have mixed results with that, not necessarily as personally as a pet owner, but, you know, definitely just what I see with the dogs. With some, it sort of calms them down and stops the itching, and with others, it doesn't seem to do anything. But, you know, definitely worth a consultation with your vet. You know, I was also reading, it was from an article from a veterinarian in the Ontario area, but they happen to have a really big problem where she is, and she was saying that soaking a dog's paws in cold black tea for about 5 minutes after they come in from outside tends to be very helpful. Although my first question about that, now that's inexpensive and that would be so easy to do, you know? But my question about that, and I wish I had a phone number to ask her about it, is just, you know, what do you do afterwards? I mean, black tea does have caffeine, doesn't it? I mean, you certainly don't want your dogs soaking up the black tea by licking it, you know, and having access to caffeine. So I wasn't quite sure, you know, if you just soak it in black tea for a while, dry it off, and then rinse their paws off, you know, that might be the safest thing. But if you're really desperate, that might be sort of a home remedy that you can try. Sounds safe enough as long as, you know, you're rinsing off the black tea after the good soak. But again, cold black tea might be another choice. And I'm not sure, you know, like what we do sometimes with the dogs that are building is just put cones on, just so it's a little bit harder, you know, for them to have access to their, it looks like we have a caller calling in, which is totally fine. So we can go ahead and do that. But another idea is possibly, you know, I don't know if it's putting a sock on their paw. I just don't know if their paw is kind of wet with moisture. If putting a sock on and holding the moisture in is a good idea. But it might be worth a try. You know, wrapping it with bandage tape or something like that, you know, might be an option too. But I know that I have had to deal with this with clients and dog clients and people clients a lot in the last 10 days. It just seems to be sort of at a peak right now. So I totally understand, you know, about the issues with that. It looks like we actually have a couple callers, a couple people calling in. I'm going to go to, and I just want to make sure the engineer's okay. We're going to go to Dan first in Minneapolis. Success with soak is what you'd like to talk about. Dan, welcome to the Pet Connection Show.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, last year around this time, our dog was having a lot of problems. We had her on Apoquel for a while that our veterinarian had her on. But due to some issues, our dog was we have a pug, and our pug was getting a lot of UTI issues from that. So we went to the university vet center and the vet clinic area at the University of Minnesota. They had us deal with a dermatologist and urologist, and then they put us on a national study for an inhibitor. It was basically an enzyme inhibitor called, I think the brand name is called Cytopoint. And so our dog gets a once-a-month injection with Cytopoint. And what that does is it inhibits this IL-33 enzyme from creating a protein that causes the itch. And so I would say it works about 85% effectively. She gets it about once a month. And what Apoquel was doing was it was kind of, I mean, for our dogs, for other dogs, Apoquel is probably quite good. But for our dog, because she has a small liver shunt, was getting anemic. So her blood levels would drop. And what we're finding with the Cytopoint injection is that her blood levels are not falling to dangerous levels anymore. They're you know, they'll fall to the lower end of normal, but that's about it. And then combined with some good soaps that she gets with her bath once a week during this time of year, she by and large has a tremendous improvement. And this is a pug with a full double coat that sheds a lot. And when we take her for walks, we'll get water wipes from Target and wipe her feet and her face and stuff like that. And we'll keep up on her routine maintenance. But by and large, we've seen probably a 95% improvement in our dog in the last year since we've gone to that enzyme inhibitor injection that we get once a month, plus the protocols that the University Vet Center has given to us.
That's excellent news. I mean, did you ever think that you would have this much success? It's almost
We weren't sure because when we first started the study last year, one of the problems that they were saying the breeds of dogs that were not doing as well within their studies to that date were the brachycephalic dogs, you know, the pushed-in-face dogs. And they seemed to have the toughest time getting the full benefit. Well, we started it, and we started it in July of last year, and it didn't take right away. I mean, it worked effectively, but not as much as we were expecting. So we were kind of on par with everything that the study for the Cytopoint was saying, that it might take about 6 months, which in this case, for our dog, you know, that would have been when the snows and the cold hits. Well, that, you know, she's no longer allergic at that time with that. And we've got a performance-based dog. We've got the number one AKC agility pug in the nation. So for us, we notice it tremendously between winter and this time of year. We won't jump her at her regular height during this time of year because we know she's fighting an inflammation and going through all this stuff with her allergies that that the Cytopoint is helping to try and do with. But she runs every bit as fast. She's just not jumping as high as, you know, she usually would when she competes during the winter months.
Wow, that's just a very impressive story and success story, and one that we can certainly recommend to a lot of other people in terms of, you know, getting those shots once a month.
I would say, you know, the vets, the dermatologist and vets at the university, working with our vet, who is a pug specialist and a graduate of the university veterinary school, you know, they both are quick to say, this isn't the cure-all for everything for every dog, you know. But what they do is they'll run a litany of tests to find out what can or can't work. Because I think Apoquel has an element of a steroid in it. And so you know, it, for some dogs, it might work very effectively and, you know, of the like. And congratulations for those where it does do that. Benadryl, we tried our dog on Benadryl, and she just turned into a zombie. And for a performance-based dog that runs, you know, that will run hard against Papillons and Corgis and Dachshunds at her jump height for agility, you know, we couldn't have a zombie out there. It was too dangerous.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Because one of the obstacles is they're on a 45-foot long by 10-inch wide, 5 feet off the ground dog walk. And if a dog's a zombie, they run the risk of falling off, you know, and getting hurt that way. But the Cytopoint has been very helpful along with the other protocols that we do. Like we wipe her feet after a walk and wipe her face. We make sure, once again, Dermal Soothe is one of the shampoos that we use. And then we use a chlorhexidine shampoo as well. And we go, you know, we interchange them week after week, A-B, A-B, week after week. And that seems to be doing quite well. We've only had to use the cone very little this season so far, which pretty much started, I would say, about mid-June for us is when the heat really started kicking in and a lot of the allergy look to it. So
sure.
At first we had to put the cone on her just sparingly because she was starting to chew a little. But
you know,
once
Dana,
we got the shot.
I have to interrupt just because we're going right into a commercial break, but I can't thank you enough for all the valuable information you just shared with everybody. I feel so hopeful. You know, for a lot of dogs that are struggling now, and I'm just going to be definitely recommending the things that you have suggested, and also the U of M Dermatology Department. Thank you, Dan. Stay with us, Pet Appreciation.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This Monday, our theme is the intersection of the media and idealism. I'll talk about Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, and then the big interview will be with Chad Larson, the owner of KTNF, an optimistic idealist who sees the good in everyone. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. My goodness, did the caller before us have a wealth of information regarding allergies, especially during the end of summer here. And pet appreciators, I was trying fast and furious to take notes from Dan, again, who just thank you so much if you're still listening, Dan. We so appreciate everything that you shared with us. But pet appreciators, if my notes aren't good enough, if you wanted to give me a call and I can pass on some of the info, you can always, go on the internet to, AM 950 radio and listen to, the shows. And you can listen to the first segment there of all the info that Dan was sharing. If you are somebody really struggling with pet allergies, especially during this time of year. Another thing that struck me that he said that his vet is a pug specialist. And pet appreciators, I feel a little bit naive, but I didn't know that some vets specialize in certain breeds of dogs. I just didn't know that. So I wanted to ask him more about that, and maybe another time he can call in and share a little bit more about that. And then when Dr. Nicole is back on in September, I can certainly chat with her. But that was interesting as well. Before we get to the next caller, and I do appreciate Brad. I do see you. I do appreciate you holding on here. I just wanted to mention that a week from today, Pet Appreciators, is National Dog Day. And I can only imagine all the things that will be going on for that. But, there's just because it says National Dog Day, I always kind of personalize things and what I want to do with my dogs or the dogs that I work with. But the word national got me thinking that, of course, this could be things on a bigger scale as well. You don't have to be a pet owner, to do some good towards dog organizations. One thing that they have a website called nationaldogday.com. And if you wanted to get some ideas on what you would like to share with other people or maybe post at your workplace or whatever, or do something for yourself. Some of the ideas I just pulled, they had about 20 of them, but I just pulled five of them and I just want to quickly run through them. One of them, which I think is the best in my mind, is to do a home safety check as if you were for your animal, just like you would do for your toddler if you had toddlers at home, young children, but a home safety check. And for me, that includes indoors, outdoors, and the garage. Another idea they had is to donate items or money to your local rescues or other organizations that deal with dogs. Write or call in to your state or federal elected officials and voice your opposition to large-scale puppy mills. The obvious one is to have a dog party, which I'm assuming a lot of them will be doing that. Another one that I really liked is if you have a neighbor who's elderly or ill, to assist them with dog walking. That might be a nice gift for them. And then something very, very specific to your own pet would be to give them a pet massage. And I thought that was something just real special because we don't always have time in our busy days to just really focus on that. And when you're, of course, doing a pet massage, you can also do a little pet health check, any new lumps that you see, anything going on with their eyes, any redness in their ears, that kind of thing. So, but anyways, just keep that in mind. August 26th, National Dog Day. And Brad, thank you so much, Brad from St. Paul, for waiting and waiting and waiting. We really appreciate it. Your comment says something about a worker bringing a dog to work. So what's going on with that, Brad?
Well, first off, I want to say that previous guest she had on really didn't relate to me, but I thought that was quite informative for others that it may be related to. He seemed to be very knowledgeable in the subject. But my issue is, it almost seems petty, but then again, it's not. I have a dog. I've always had a dog, and I got a coworker. We work in an office, and the boss allows her to bring her little dog to work. But it's distracting to several of us, and I don't want to kind of tell on her to the boss or hurt her feelings. And how would I approach this without, getting her or angry or hurt? But it is distracting to several of us.
Okay. So that was my first question was, is it just you, or is it more of a group situation? Is the dog kind of barking? I guess it doesn't. Is it barking or urinating or just the coworker is distracted herself and kind of drawing attention to her dog? Oh, look at the bowl that my dog has on today. Or do you want to keep treats at your desk and you can give them to my dog? Or, you know, is she kind of imposing her and her dog on you? Or
Well, we never got asked if it would make a difference. And I don't want, again, I don't want to be petty. And it's a friendly little dog, but we're trying to get our work done. And I just don't think the office setting is a place to bring a dog to work in our business.
Right, right. Especially if there's a lot of phone calls or if you have to really concentrate on emails or that kind of thing. I know that more and more businesses, well, I don't want to say more and more businesses. I do know that there has been a movement, so to speak, an acceptance of dogs being allowed at work, that's just more acceptable. But to be honest with you, and I think that's great in some ways, but I've often wondered how work environments deal with people that are allergic to animals and how much communication there is. Like you said, that there really wasn't any communication. And so I wonder too, just where should the communication start? What sort of guidelines should be enforced? And is there an open lines of communication among, you know, everybody in that workspace on how to kind of, I don't want to say evaluate how things are going, but is it really working for everybody or do we need to make some adjustments? What I would do in your situation, and it's been a long, long time since I've worked in an office environment, so my ideas might be a little bit antiquated, but is there a way for you and your coworkers to draft a short but to the point letter to your boss, to your supervisor, just saying, hey, we think this idea is great, but it doesn't seem to be working for the following reasons. We would be happy to accommodate to this particular coworker in the following ways. And would you be willing to accommodate to this coworker in the following ways? And what I mean by that is maybe the dog is allowed to come on days that are least busy. Or maybe there's a separate room that a computer or something can be set up where people can go in and have a little bit more privacy, a conference room or something like that. Or if the dog is only allowed there during certain times of the day, you know, ideas like that, like we're not like shutting her out and her options out, because maybe she got permission from the boss when she was hired, you know, we don't know. But if there's a way, I would approach it as, you know, this is a problem, but we want to keep the door open for negotiating how to work through this problem and have the boss be a part of, you know, including the coworker in part of that solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So, I'll get together with my fellow employees and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think that I would let it get to the point of, this is so frustrating, I'm so mad, you know, kind of thing. I think I would bring the boss in and then have him or her bring the coworker in and know that the first meeting anyways or the first strategy is to how everybody can accommodate, what she can do to accommodate. You know what I mean? And I'm preoccupied because now we're going into another commercial break. Boy, did that go by fast. But I want to thank you so much for your call. And feel free to give us an update on how that's going, okay? Thank you, Brad.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week, we talk about HUD and the affordable housing crisis, the true hidden cost of home ownership, and the five common reasons why people get denied for mortgages.
Check us out for more information. Email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and we're going to be at the Minnesota State Fair in the Minnesota Eats exhibit on most days of the fair from 3 to 5. We'd love for you to stop by and say hi. Also, we want to collect lazy good food recipes. What are lazy good food recipes? Well, I don't really know, because what's lazy and good for me is a little different than what's lazy and good for you. But we have to figure out what is good for the planet. What's good for water? What's good for soil? What's good for pollinators? What's good for animals? What's good for equity? And let's do it in a way that's fun and healthy and nourishing. So listen to Food Freedom Radio on AM 950 on Saturdays at 8 a.m. or stop by the Minnesota State Fair at the Minnesota Eats exhibit at the Horticulture Building. Also, if you have a favorite way of cooking, let us know at foodfreedomradio.com.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, we'll be discussing political corruption, Wall Street shenanigans, our corporate overlords, digital dystopia, and maybe throw in a surprise or two as well. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 until midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Did you know approximately 80% of our homes in our area are not sealed and insulated properly? A typical home has air leakage equivalent to that of a large open window. Green Home Doctors has treated thousands of homes with their special diagnostic equipment and can prescribe the appropriate remedy for your house. Stop air conditioning your whole neighborhood this summer. Call today and take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy. Visit greenhomedr.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, showers likely between 3 and 5 p.m. with a high of 87. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 71. Monday will be cloudy with a chance of precipitation and a high around 86. Lows of 65. Tuesday, a high of 72 and a low of 54. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Burger Mo's, offering 20 fresh, never-frozen varieties of burgers, as well as delicious apps, soups, salads, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is the perfect gathering spot before or after Xcel Energy events. Find out more at BurgerMo's.com.
Welcome back, pet appreciators. Welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Kathy Menard here, your host, and I'm enjoying this wonderful conversation with all the different people that have called in. We do have another caller. Actually, we have two more callers. We'll quickly get to the next one here. Lynn calling from Minneapolis, and you wanted to talk about exercising. Is that correct, Lynn?
Yes, I was just wondering if any of your callers had any ideas of an easy way to, with some mobility limitations, how to exercise a dog. Any suggestions or any whatevers?
Sure. When you say mobility limitations, are you talking about your dog or are you talking about yourself?
Myself.
First thing is obviously I would see if you can either hire or find somebody that you know and trust for just regular dog walking. And then is there anything, because when I think of exercise, I think of physical exercise, but I also think of mental exercise as well, intellectual exercise. And so I'm wondering, if you have, like you said, some mobility issues, is there any way that, do you think you would be willing to try something like blowing bubbles? Like, I know that sounds kind of silly, but we do that a lot at our facility, and the dogs, will get their exercise by running and jumping after the bubbles. And there's some mental work there as well as following the bubbles with their eyes and, you know, how the bubbles float. You know, they have to really concentrate and adjust their body, you know, to be able to grab the bubble and pop it with their mouth, which is what they do. So that, I was thinking, would be a really fun game, you know, where there's all three of those things. You're involved, there's mental stimulation, and then there's some physical activities too. Plus, it's pretty darn cheap. So that might be an option. The other thing that I was thinking of is if there's any way, And I don't know, pet appreciators, anybody creative out there, is there any way to, you know, like those retractable leashes, but is there anything where maybe even like one of those clotheslines, those zip line clotheslines or something, is there any way to attach, you know, you hold one end and have the line attached to something else and then and a ball dangles and can move back and forth from that where they can kind of play tug of war or chase with the ball, but it doesn't really go somewhere where you can't go and get it yourself. Does that make sense? You know, I'm not sure, but there's so many creative people out there. I'm just wondering if somebody can come up with some ideas for some home gadgets. You know what I mean? Where you can throw a ball, but it's attached to a string, so you don't have to, you know, I'm not sure if you're on crutches or wheelchair or whatever, but you don't have to physically go through lots of different types of terrain to go and get the ball if the dog decides not to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then I don't know if you were listening at the top of the show or not, but there was a caller that called in. We were actually talking about allergies, but Dan had called in and it sort of, you know, the conversation got towards agility classes because that is something the dog is, I think he said number one, in either the breed or number one in the state or the nation or something. I'll have to go back and re-listen to that. But agility classes would be great if you're able to get the dog, you know, to and from, you know, the facility. There's got to be at least a couple different places I would think that would be good choices. Doggy daycare is another. It's still summer. So another idea would be if you're, if you have access to any sort of grassy area. And the reason why I say that is because I think it would take a while. The dog would need a while out on something soft to sit down and chew this up. But if you could get like, fill up like an ice cream bucket, not all the way, but partially, fill it up. And when it's starting to, you know, and put it in the freezer, but before you do that, stick in different chew toys and treats and that kind of stuff and freeze it. And then outside, you know, take the ice, get it to smash out of it, get it out of the bucket. And then your dog can, you know, have a good 30 to 40 minutes in the summer sun chewing on this big ice cube that's filled with dog treats and dog toys. Does that make sense?
That's an idea. I've never thought of that one.
Yeah, so that's something, too, if you wanted to think about that. So, I don't know. Anybody else out there have ideas? Make sure you call in and share it with us. But yeah, so there's things that other people can do, and then there's things right at home, I think, that you can do as well.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Kathy.
Sure. I have a question, though. I've been meaning to ask the callers, but we keep going into commercial breaks before I have a chance to ask them. But I don't know if you had heard me mention that it's National Dog Day next Sunday, it's August 26th. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering, you know, for obviously you're a pet owner, is there anything that comes to mind and what you would like to do for your dog on National Dog Day? Or, you know, if your dog's is a assistance dog, your therapy mm-hmm. dog or something? Yeah, if there's anything like that you would like to shine a light on?
Well, I know there's a facility that's going to be having a paw party, they're calling it, and they're doing dog baths and dog prints where they, one of the organizations like Petco, PetSmart, one of those types of things are coming out and going to be walking the dog through paper.
Oh, fine.
After, you know, so you get their paw prints going through and stuff like that.
Oh, that's fun. So National Dog Day to you, what comes to your mind is sounds like a big dog party. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm anxious to hear what everybody's going to be doing on that day. So, all right. Well, I really appreciate you calling in and even appreciate more you staying on hold. I appreciate that very much. Okay.
Well, quite all right.
All right. Okay. Have a really great day.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. So pet appreciators, again, if you have any ideas, which I think the next caller does, about how you think would be a good idea to celebrate National Dog Day, please feel free to share it with us. And like if you had any thoughts on, you know, gadgets at home that could be turned into toys that would be easy for somebody in a wheelchair to interact with their dog and keep them mentally stimulated and physically active? I thought that was a really good question. I wish I would have thought more about that, but that's going to be on my mind. I know I'm going to want to think about that more. But anyway, Cheryl's on the line now. Cheryl from St. Paul. You had something about National Dog Day. Cheryl, welcome to the Pet Connection Show.
Thank you, Kathy. And yes, I do. I actually think that it's an interesting day to actually create a new habit. And so I like to challenge people to think about what's one thing you can do differently in the coming year for your dog to make your dog's life richer. For me, that became feeding my dog out of something other than a bowl every day. And I started with dog toys and putting food in different challenging toys, but I eventually started putting food in milk cartons with holes cut in the side or paper bags or egg cartons and just creating new challenges for my dogs every day, which gives them enrichment and allows my dogs to have a little bit more going on without a ton of additional effort for me. So for Dog Day, I would recommend a new habit.
And Cheryl, is this Cheryl from Jiffy Dog?
Yes.
Hi, Cheryl. Well, Pet Appreciators, she's one of my heroes. Cheryl from Jiffy Dog Dog Training in St. Paul. So, well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that. As soon as you started talking, I said, this sounds like somebody. So, I think I know this person. But anyways, well, thanks for listening, too, by the way. But I like that idea. And that was not something that was listed on the 20 lists of things on the National Dog Day thing. So, on the National Dog Day website. But create a new habit. I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. So, and your new habits sounds like they were mostly centered around food.
Just making sure that food time becomes a time for them to seek and work a little bit rather than just a bowl that appears in front of them with food. And I found my dog's enthusiasm at mealtime has just gone through the roof. It's been so fun and so easy for me. So it's just a win-win.
Okay, well, then I'm going to ask you something. Now, okay. This might not be possible, and I might not want to do it. But when you were, you know, but I love ideas, and you know that, you know, we board at our facility, and so, you know, mealtimes is always really busy, and there's always a little bit of, not a little bit, but there's always, you know, every dog has a set place where they eat, could be in a variety of different places too, but a lot of what goes on at mealtimes is where they're going to, especially when they're boarding, I want to make sure that they feel comfortable eating because, you know, every dog is different. Most dogs eat just fine, but some dogs need a good 24 to 36 hours to warm up to the fact of eating in a new place. Some of them feel pretty threatened. Some will only eat in a crate. Some of them will only eat in a room by themselves. And I have no problem accommodating to that. I will bend over backwards because once I know that you're eating, that there's level of being comfortable, and you know that my facility is set up very similar to sort of a home style where there's it just has a much more home feel to it than anything, and I just but mealtimes can be busy, you know, and sometimes I prefer to do them by myself instead of having other staff help me, just because, you know, the bowl that has the medicine in it, I want to like be 120% sure that it goes to the right dog, you know, that kind of thing. And so sometimes I prefer to tackle it by myself, but it's just, that's just what it is. You know, it's just a lot of structure. Everybody knows where they need to go. It's kind of like, I don't want to say military style, but you know, they all go right to their places and they all, you know, wait, and some of them will bark a little bit. But when you were talking, you were saying the words, working for it. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Do you have any simple ideas for a room full of, you know, 20 to 30 dogs where I might be able to do something real quick outside of each crate or each room or each space? You know, some dogs do better if their bowls are up high. So, like, I try to have, you know, just any sort of minor thing I can do. You know what I mean? Some of them really like to relax right after a meal. So I try to make sure that there's a pillow right there that they can relax on right after a meal, especially an older dog. But is there anything you can think of off the top of your head? And we only have about a minute of something kind of fun where they have to work a little bit. That might be kind of fun if I feel like doing that.
Honestly, if my dogs need to work a little bit and I don't have a lot of time and I don't have a lot of space, I'll just take a sheet of paper from one of those magazines that comes in the mail on Sunday, put their meal in that, and bunch it up. So instead of feeding it in a bowl, I just put it in a piece of paper or a paper bag and just roll it up, and I call it their brown bag lunch. And that way they have to tear the bowl apart to get it. The question I would have is whether that's something you want to create more paper in this space, but paper is easy to tear up, and it's an easy way to create a very quick challenge for them.
Well, I can see the paper bag. That might be a little bit easier for me. Are you at all worried about them eating paper?
Not really, and it hasn't been my experience that they do. They're much more likely to just tear it apart than to ingest it. And I would have to talk to a veterinarian about whether there's any problem if they ingest it. But generally speaking, I will take anything that goes in the paper product in the recycling bin and use it as a treat delivery system. Sometimes it's an envelope, a tiny little box, you know, anything, leftover food from takeout, that kind of thing.
Sure. Good ideas. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I was surprised. So have a happy day, okay?
You too.
But Pet Appreciators, I think we have one more segment. I lost track of time, but I think there's one more segment. So please stay with us.
In honor of the great Minnesota get-together, where will you find unbeatable appliance savings? On a stick, of course, at all 10 Warner's Stellion stores. Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers at our guaranteed lowest price, plus free installation done right by our specialists. Laundry pairs for as little as $3.99 each. Big savings on French door refrigerators. And unbeatable savings on more kitchen packages than you can count. Appliance savings on a stick through September 4th, exclusively from Warner's Stellion.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
It's summertime and the neighborhood is full of activity. Blue Sky Services offers power washing and soft washing for home siding, composite decks, walkways, roofs, and more. They will have your home sparkling like new without damaging your exterior, landscape, or yard. Call 651-447-4484 to take advantage of the final sale before the fall, this month only. Get an early start with Blue Sky's August sale prices and keep your house looking healthy while adding value to your home. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us, Pet Appreciators. And I'm sorry I lost track of time. I was thinking that it was the end of the show at the last segment. So busy with everybody calling in. We really appreciate that. But I guess there's one more segment. So if there's anybody else who would like to join our conversation or to just share your thoughts on National Dog Day and what you think would be a good idea to do or what you are planning on doing. And again, that is August 26th. I think that's a week from today. Always feel free to call in and share with that as well. But I like... Yeah, I like those ideas that were shared. And the one, again, the one that I had read earlier from the National Dog Day website, you know, just to do a home safety check, that just, you know, lit up when I read that, lit up in my mind. And I, you know, safety is a huge thing all the time with me, whether it's at my building or at another building that we rent or at my house. You know, just kind of look at your physical space from a dog or cat's point of view and see if you can find those easy escape places where they might find and you might not normally be aware of just because you're up higher or you're thinking like a human instead of thinking like a dog or a cat. There can be anything, any sort of sharp edges and sharp nails sticking out of anything. That's what I think about a lot because we recycle, especially at our facility and in my home too. But, you know, I love to find things in the garbage. I love to like talk to staff and show them and just say, how can we repurpose this? What can we do? You know what I mean? But you know, sometimes there are unique pieces and unique items that we find. And, you know, we always have to take a look at how safe is this? What are the corners like? Are there any nails sticking out? You know, that kind of thing. But keeping, you know, the environment engaging as well as safe, I think is a gift that we can give to our animals. I know that I like to rearrange things. The things that really work are fine. And I don't like to change that, you know, too much. But you can use your physical environment indoors and outdoors to challenge them mentally and emotionally. You know, getting them a little bit out of their comfort zone sometimes, physically challenging them. I bet the person who called in earlier with the dog in the agility class probably has all kinds of things at home where the dog can work on those skills without even knowing that he or she is working on them in terms of, you know, things to jump up on and jump down on and turn around in and go through and that kind of thing. So it's still beautiful weather out. So a lot of these things we can do outside as well. Don't forget that the outdoors is not just a place to put the dog when the dog is in your hair or annoying you or barking too much or having to go to the bathroom. You know, the outdoors can be a place where there's all kinds of things that can be happening. You know, even those little kiddie pools, you know, even filling it with just a little bit of water to splash around in or filling it with a, you know, 10, 12, 15 tennis balls and a couple of treats hidden, you know, at the bottom of that. And they have to scurry through the balls to find the little treat or two, you know, different things like that. I know that sometimes sprinklers, you know, dogs like sprinklers, you know, especially to try and drink from, especially the moving ones as they go back and forth. They try to follow the water and try to catch the water, whatever. But anyways, my mind just kind of went there. I don't know why, but it just did. The other thing I wanted to mention, Pet Appreciators, and maybe some of you can relate, and if you can, and if you have an interest, I want you to call me. Because there's times where I often hunger, you know, to do more. And of course, I'm busy enough, but it doesn't change the hunger or the passion inside of me, no matter how physically busy I am. And I'll give you the Urban Dog number, which is my business, but it's 651-231-6333. And you can always find that on this station here. We don't have a website right now. We took it down, but we're going to be putting it just because we're doing a new one. And we've got tons of clients, and so I'm not too worried about the marketing aspect of it. But 651-231-6333 is how to get a hold of me directly. But the reason why I'm saying that is if anybody else has these passions, you know, there's so many needs out there with animals. And there's a couple that really pull at my heart, you know what I mean? And one of them is getting rid of rabies altogether on a worldwide basis, you know what I mean? And I've done a little bit of footwork on maybe you know, how to set up an organization for that and tackle that, and who the contact should be, and what are the major organizations worldwide that might, you know, be good to get a hold of. But if there's anybody, I just wanted to throw it out there. You know, if there's anybody who's interested in sort of becoming a part of or helping to form a new group in terms of just getting rid of rabies on an international basis with dogs, you know, getting every dog vaccinated and helping communities throughout the world really tackle that problem and, you know, eradicate it there, right there in their own communities. That's something that I just, you know, it just kind of, I don't want to say it keeps me awake at night, but it's an idea that just won't go away. And I don't know how to start doing it. You know, I've done, like I said, I've done a little bit of footwork. But if there's anybody else out there that has more experience than me and would ever like to get involved, you know, with me and helping me to figure out a way and how to tackle, you know, getting rid of rabies in dogs on an international level, I think that would be great. One community at a time, especially bringing rabies vaccines to communities that are harder to reach and may not be as well educated. And the reason why it's so concerning to me, obviously, is because, you know, if they bite anybody, especially a child, you know, rabies can be so devastating, especially in communities that don't have a lot of healthcare resources. So again, I just wanted to throw that out there if anybody has that or know of anybody. But we do have one more caller, and it's getting near the end of the show, and it is, the one and only Mike McEntee. Hey, Mike, good morning, and how are you today?
Good morning, Kathy. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good, good. We miss you on air.
Ah, I heard you talking. You know, it's we have neighbors with pets, and we love them too, but sometimes those the dogs view us always as a threat and start barking at us. Is there any way that we can kind of help that so that they don't always view us as a threat and everybody else who comes by?
Oh, it sounds like such a common problem. You know, are you talking specifically about like maybe when you pull up in your driveway and they start barking out their living room window, or when you're both in the backyard and it's over the fence?
All of the above.
Okay. All right. And we've got about a minute. So what I would do, first of all, is just chat with your neighbors if you haven't done that already and just say, hey, we would really like to be on more friendly terms with your dogs. Do you have any ideas? And then also follow up with a couple ideas of your own. Maybe they can supply you with a stash of tennis balls. And so when you come out and they're out, you can start tossing a couple tennis balls to them to get the dog, you know, over the fence. So they're now occupied with something new and special that came from you on their side of the fence. And maybe they'll quiet down a little bit. There's always treats and that kind of thing. The thing that makes me a little bit worried about giving dogs treats that are might not be too friendly towards you is you certainly don't want them to bite you. So it might be something that you just toss over the fence as well. I'm not a really big treat person, but that might be it. And I am so sorry that I can't address this more because it's near the end of the show. We've got 10 seconds. But I would try communication with them first and seeing if there's fun ways, you know, that they can start interacting with you.